Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, there is no doubt that the best way to learn about Christ and what it means to live a Christian life is to learn from the Bible. But for the majority of us, we don't have the time nor the expertise to do a deep dive in biblical research on a level that allows us to truly do a deep dive on biblical studies. Life just seems to get in the way sometimes. So what should we do? Well, how about reading books by those who do have an understanding, those that have been doing the research, and they're able to provide the information we seek and explain it in ways that we can understand? That makes a lot of sense, right? Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, praise God. My guest today is just such a person. David Fantasy has been on our program a few years back, but he's written a new book titled The Journey, Spiritual Growth in Galatians and Philippians. I know you're going to get a lot out of this interview, so put on your seatbelts and hold on. Welcome back to the program, David Fantasy. David, thank you for coming back on the program to discuss your new book. Praise God.
Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Amen. Now, for those that may have missed our last interview, other than the brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is David Fantasy?
Well, I'm a former college professor. I taught biblical studies for 30 years, also a former pastor, pastored several congregations. So I'm trying to put all this together, the academic and the pastoral, together in my writing. Now I'm semi-retired. I'm writing books. This is my fourth book to appear this year, wow. The Journey. So I'm doing a lot of writing and finding publishers that will humor me and publish these things. And so I'm having a great time writing these books, trying to bring everything together, you know, from my ministry in education and in the local ministry. Also served while overseas as a missionary, bring all that to play in my writing now. So as I say, the fourth book come out this year. I had planning stages for three more at least. See after that, you know, what I think I'm led to do, but that's what I'm about now.
Amen. Amen. And your book, The Journey, Spiritual Growth in Galatians and Philippians, is about, let me guess, spiritual growth by studying two of Paul's letters, right?
Yeah, it's about spirituality, a topic that many Christians think about and study, but they may not call it spirituality. It's commonly called that in other Christian settings, but evangelical Protestants may not use that terminology. But right. It's a book that is stressing not so much Paul's theology, although his theology can't be just ignored. Right. It's stressing Paul the Christian man, who was struggling in his apostleship, in his life. He endured many hardships.
Oh yeah,
and yet he maintained his not only his faith but his joy in the spite of these. So it's about Paul the Christian man. So I look at the biographical parts of his letters, focusing mostly on Galatians, Philippians, but I bring in the Corinthian letters and other parts as well.
Okay. But this isn't a verse by verse outline then.
Right? It isn't a verse by verse commentary. No, I would call them nuggets. I select specific scripture. Sometimes it's three or four verses. Sometimes it's just part of a verse. So it's where Paul makes self references when he says, for example, "I have been crucified with Christ."
Yeah, I was going to ask.
That's a powerful. We say that often, but what does he mean by that? And how can that inform me and inspire me? These are the questions I ask. So whenever he makes and sometimes it's a clear reference to himself. Like in Philippians, when he says, "I desire to depart and be with the Lord," that's clearly a biographical. Other times it's not so clear, but it is biographical, in my opinion. So that's what I'm selecting out from these two letters. And so my future books, I'd like to take 2 Corinthians, which is absolutely amazing letter, often neglected in Christian
circles. Let me ask you, because we were talking about, you know, where Paul said, you know, that, you know, I've been crucified with Christ, but we know he wasn't physically crucified. What was he trying to say, you know, to get us an understanding of that statement?
Yeah. So he refers many times in all of his letters to his conversion and Christian conversion in general as dying with Christ. That becomes the metaphor of conversion. It's so dramatic a change. It's like death and resurrection. But in Galatians, whenever he says, I'm dying with Christ, he always says, I'm crucified with Christ. He says 3 times in Galatians that he's crucified with Christ. 3 times.
Yeah.
In all of his other letters, he says it only once. That's in Romans. Why in Galatians, whenever he uses the death with Christ symbol or metaphor, does he explain it in terms of crucifixion? That's not just I have died with Christ, I've been crucified with it. That's an intriguing question. I think because the Galatians are playing down the cross. The cross to them is an embarrassment. And whenever the cross becomes an embarrassment in Christian circles, they have veered too far from the faith. I make a lot of comparisons in this book to crucial times in Christian history. One of them is 1930s in Germany, when the Nazis wanted to take over the church.
Yeah.
And they didn't want anything to do with crucifixion. Jesus is not a crucified Jew. He's a conquering, kick them around. Whenever they get to that point, it's a really dangerous point in Christian history. So Paul's not only saying, yeah, he was crucified. He's saying, and furthermore, when you become a Jesus follower, you have to be crucified as well. You can't be ashamed of the cross. Yeah. It's part of who we are as Christians. So it's partly of that, because I think they want to put down the cross. Secondly, it's because he's trying to stress conversion over keeping commandments, conversion over keeping rules. Amen. Conversion is not simply, I think I'll join this club. Jesus didn't die, a peaceful death. He didn't die in old age. He didn't die like Socrates, by drinking the hemlock and just going to sleep. He died a horribly violent death. Conversion is something like that, in which God rips us out of our culture, our self-centeredness, our desire to have everything our way, even if we step on other people. He rips us out of that, and it's a traumatic change. Yeah. So it's a useful metaphor, but it's especially useful in the Galatian context, because I think the Galatian opponents of Paul were really ashamed of the cross.
Is that why you chose to focus on Galatians and Philippians?
I think Galatians and Philippians, he has more biographical references than he does. He has a lot in 2 Corinthians. That's why I want to do 2 Corinthians next. And I pull in 2 Corinthians a lot in this book. But I chose those 2 because he has a lot of these kind of references. I've taught the Pauline letters in colleges and in graduate schools for decades.
Yeah.
And of course, in my pastoral ministry, I preach from them over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
So I've interacted with them, and I've tried to show in the book what I show in my sermons. You know, this is stuff for every day. This is stuff I can take right now. Because if you're not going through a Pauline crisis now, you will. It's inevitable in everybody's life.
Amen.
That the kind of things he experienced, I may not experience them like that, but on some level.
Yeah, because we know, Paul suffered a lot, many things, and too many to even and try and comprehend in our modern lifestyle and culture. How did going through all of this bring meaning to his faith?
Yeah, and to help me understand that, I compare Paul to similar people. So I talk about people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a kind of Paul in the 1930s. Again, I find so many things I learn from the 30s in Germany. So I've read that, you know, the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of Martin Niemöller, another Lutheran pastor who stood up against the Nazis. Of course, Corrie Ten Boom's life, the Hiding Place. These people teach me their 20th century Pauls, or Paulines in Corrie Ten Boom's case. They teach me, you know, how do these things affect your faith? And you know, their stories are just amazing. These people of faith, what they went through, how they endured it, how they interpreted everything in light of their faith, how they filtered all their experiences, good and bad, through the faith. These are instructive for all of us. Yeah. I don't know that I'll ever be put in prison like Dietrich Bonhoeffer because I dared speak the truth that these people are evil, but there may be other similar, but not as dramatic and not as dangerous situations in which I am placed. And these things are instructive.
You have a saying about, you know, you it's not so much about walking the line, so to speak, but about hitting the road. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, walking the line is the way some people see the Christian faith. It's the way the Galatian opponents saw the Christian faith. You walk the line, buddy, you keep the commandments. You keep the 613 mitzvot, commandments of the Old Testament Torah. And they were scared to death if they breached one, even accidentally. They were scared to death that they would, you know, they would be the recipient of the wrath of God immediately. They lived in a culture in their former pagan life in which they were terrified of deities and spirits and demons and so forth. And they just kept interpreting their Christian, their new Christian life the same way. So the God of Jesus Christ is terrifying to them. So you've got to walk the line, buddy. You get out of line, you're in. And many modern Christians, especially evangelical Christians, have the same kind of thing. They have the same sort of mentality. We don't mean to teach that, but people pick that up. We hammer away in the pulpit on certain vices and certain sins, and people just cringe. Oh, maybe they don't do that vice, but they've got other things that they're worried about. Can you advance as a Christian if you're always looking over your shoulder and worried that you stepped over the line?
Right.
Amen. Or do you advance more if you see yourself, I'm taking a journey with God, and I'll sometimes get off the road, but God's still on the road and pulling me back.
Amen.
Do you look forward or do you look backward? And so that's why I have that expression. Walking the Line is a famous movie about the life of Johnny Cash, you know. But do we walk the line or do we journey with God? Journeying with God means I will grow and progress. And I'm not the same now I was 10 years ago. I hope it won't be the same 10 years if I'm still here. But walking the line, there's no growth in that. Right. It's just a rigid adherence. A lot of people who are in their hearts really bad people can walk the line.
Yeah.
But they're not people who exhibit the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. So it's not walking the line, but that may be the common perception. Certainly for non-Christians, that's the perception. But that's not what the Christian life is. It's a journey. It's a trip. It's a life adventure we're taking with God. And sometimes we have amazing joy. Sometimes we go through a rough patch.
Amen.
That's life. But you walk with God.
Through your studies in writing this book, in your opinion, how did Paul's life, all the ups, downs, and sideways events that happened to him, how did all of that influence his walk with God?
Yeah, whatever.
It'd be so easy to say, you know, like, man, every time I turn around, I'm getting arrested or beaten or something. You know, I'm just going to, you know, fall back and be quiet for a little while. You know?
Sure. I think Paul, like all of us who are Christians for very long, had several crisis points. So I call them conversion points. I don't think conversion is something you do only once. Some years ago, I read a book by a guy whose name now I can't remember, and I can't find the book, but he's not the only one who said this, but he said it well. We're not converted once if we're a Christian. We're converted several times. You go through a major crisis, and you have to decide again, do I really want to stay a Christian? Because I thought following God would mean everything would go well for me. I thought I would always prosper. I thought I would make a lot of money. I thought I would, you know, be promoted. I thought I wouldn't get sick. And then one of those things goes wrong, and you have to say, you know, do I still? And a guy who was kicked around like Paul must have had many of those moments,
yeah,
in which he said, do I really want to be an apostle? This is a rough life. When you read his references to his apostleship, he was flogged with the flagellum 5 times, beaten with rods 3 times. One time is enough to kill many people. Mm. One time is, I mean, it's dangerous for those. And he had 8 of those. I don't know how you survive 8. Mm. Shipwrecked twice, stoned once. And on top of that, he's got all of the social harassment. He said, they consider us the scum of the earth.
Yeah.
That cannot be pleasant.
Amen.
And he must have asked himself again and again, do I want to do this? And yet he goes on. He soldiers on. And he keeps writing these letters. And the longer he lives and writes the letters, I think the more spiritual they become. They're all theological, but Philippians toward the end of his life is a very spiritual letter. There's not much doctrine in it. There's a little bit, but not much. It's because he thinks he may die soon.
Yeah.
And he wants to leave something for these Philippians who are very generous, very devout Christians. They just want to help him. He wants to leave something for them and for the rest of the Christian world after them. So, yeah, I think as he interacted over the decades, he must have had many conversion points, as we all will.
Well, he says, I die to Christ daily. You know?
Yeah, it's a daily thing, but there are critical points in which it's a real choice, once again.
Yeah. Amen, amen. And why did you write this book at this time? You know, what led you to believe that this day and time in which we live right now is when this book needs to be shared?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you know, right now in American society, we're a very divided country politically. And there are people on both sides of the political spectrum who identify and interpret their Christian faith primarily in terms of their politics. If you're not in my politics, you're evil. You know, so they demonize the other side. They call them names. I won't bring up the names, but you can, if you listen at all, you know the names that one side uses for the other. They see the Christian life primarily in terms of their political opinions, their political party, and even in terms of Americanism. Mm-hmm. The Christian faith is larger than any political party. It's larger than this country. The kingdom of God transcends any country. It's not identified with the United States.
That's right.
Or with this form of government, this form of the economy. The kingdom of God is international, and it's forever. Countries rise and fall. Every country will fall eventually. The kingdom of God is forever. It's time for us to, as Christians, to stop thinking. You know, every time we have an election, every party manipulates Christians into thinking, if you don't vote this party, the whole thing's going to collapse, right? Society will collapse. The kingdom of God, Christianity will fall. It will not fall.
Yep. Amen.
No matter who's elected president, Amen. Christianity will not fall. But they all try to, and we fall for that every 4 years. It's not the case. The Christian life is not, I could have added, it's not walking the line. It's also not joining a political party.
Right?
It's journeying with God.
Amen.
It's okay to join a political party if you want to, but that should not define your Christian walk. It is not Amen. The same.
Everybody
you can be a good member of any party.
Yeah.
You know, a super member of any party. super American patriot and be a very, very bad Christian. Mm-hmm. They're not identical.
Yeah,
so this is the time to rethink what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean any of those things.
Amen. How can your readers apply what they're reading and learning to their everyday life?
Yeah, well, so I write each chapter. There are 13 chapters. The first chapter kind of is introductory. It gives a brief biography of Paul, as I see it, and a very brief introduction to Galatians and Philippians. But so I will take a scripture text, anywhere from 3 verses to even a part of a verse, and I'll give it my own translation, which is a paraphrase. So I try to give a paraphrase translation which communicates, mm-hmm. I hope, even with a non-Christian. I try to put it in everyday American slang. Then I explain it, giving a lot of current illustrations. Like we talked about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's not current, but 20th century example of a modern Paul. I give semi-current illustrations. There's an illustration of this girl, Leah Sharibu, the Nigerian 15-year-old girl who refused to give up her faith, and she's still being held in confinement. These are inspiring stories. So I try to illustrate that, but then we come to the interactive part. Each chapter has 4 questions, which are intended to draw the group. I hope people will read this in a group. You could read it alone and I think still benefit, but in a group, then one person will see something the other does not. So that's why group study. So the questions are intended to ask everybody in the group to answer that question. How would you answer this? So it helps them to apply then what has been read. The third part of each chapter is for people that want to go deeper if they want. They don't have. It's more historical information that explains why I interpreted the verses as I did. You can read it or leave it, as I say. I say in the introduction, if you don't want to read it, that's fine. I won't cry a lot, but a little bit if nobody reads it. But I'm a teacher, and I, over the years, I, you know, have given this stuff out. So maybe the first time through, people won't want to read that. Maybe if they read it a second time, they will. But so that I think the application, if I have not made it for them by giving the current illustrations, I think the application will be in the discussion time when they, when the group discusses those 4 questions, those 4 Amen. Issues.
Amen. Amen. David, this is all so fascinating. How can someone get a copy of your book? I mean, The Journey, Spiritual Growth in Galatians and Philippians. Is it available on Amazon?
It is on Amazon. Here's what it looks like.
Amen.
So you can go to Amazon and find it readily. You can go to my website, davidafennessy.com, and it's there. If you click on it, it'll take you to Amazon to buy it.
Okay.
But it's readily available, and you could go straight to the publisher, Crosslink Publishing, and you can buy it directly from there. This is what it looks like, though.
Amen. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
They can email me at my email address. DFINSY@gmail.com.
Okay.
DFINSY@gmail. Or they can go to my website again, davidafennessy.com. My phone number and email address are at the website.
Amen. I'll put all those links down below in the show notes. Folks, in this day and hour in which we live today, you need to understand the deep biblical meanings of some of the things we experience on a daily basis. And sometimes it seems like we're facing an uphill battle each and every step. But if you take what David Finnessy has put together in this great book, The Journey, Spiritual Growth in Galatians and Philippians, it'll help you find meaning behind it all. And this book will give you the wisdom and encouragement to basically keep on keeping on. Amen. Go down to the show notes, click the link right there, order your copy today. In fact, you do realize that at the time of this broadcast, Christmas is just right around the corner. I'd recommend you order 2 or 3 copies and give them away as gifts. Amen. I mean, I believe your pastor would appreciate a copy of this book too. Praise God. Yeah, go down to the show notes, Click the link, order your copies today. David, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Come back on the program and join us today. I do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For David Finus and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.